2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word, 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians. We will begin reading at verse number 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, such as one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Or such of one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you again today for your wonderful grace. And certainly it is sufficient for us. Thank you so much for the grace of God. And thank you, Father, this morning for your precious word, the Bible, God's word. And I ask you, Lord, to help this preacher as he preaches. You know the needs of my life, Father. You know what they are, and I depend upon you for them. And I certainly need your power and your wisdom, Father, this day, the clarity of mind and thought and speech. I need all things from you, Father. And then today, Lord, we need all of us here in this place just need you to work within our hearts and help us. Lord, do whatever is necessary in each heart today. We always pray, Father, that it should there be someone here without Christ, oh God, let it be today when they're born into God's family. And then once again, help us, Lord, in a way that we cannot help ourselves. We need you. We need your strength, your encouragement, your help. And we'll thank you for it in the lovely name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I've entitled my sermon this morning, Thorn School. I don't know whether you've ever been to Thorn School or not, but the Apostle Paul was. I think I've been to just about every other kind of school. I've, it's always fun. I see our young people just smiling because they're out of school. They like that. They enjoy that, and that's good. That's proper. It won't be long, young people. You'll be back in. I just want to encourage you. But anyway. I went to work after I got out of school and got married, and that was a school too. And then I went to work and you go to work and you get trained and you go to school of all kinds. When you're working, you're learning your field and all of those things, and then you go to life school, and it's until death do us part, and. It just keeps on going. I mean, life school is still going for all of us. And anyway, I got saved in 1966 and started back to school, not literally school. I just started back to school, God teaching and training me, helping me to become just a little bit better than I was before for the Lord. And then I got called to preach and started into school literally and also in a new kind of school that I'd never been in before, God helping me to learn how to be a pastor. And then to some degree, I'm in school every single week of my life as I study God's word to get ready to preach. So school is something, young folk, you're going to one of these days jump up and down and say, I'm out of school. But let me just say to you, you've just begun. It continues on through life. It's a little bit different kind of school life is. But I'm going to talk to you about Paul's thorn school. He went to a very special kind of school. Paul, the Apostle Paul, was a great man of God. There's no doubt about it. But I don't care how spiritual you are, doesn't make any difference how great a man of God you might be or woman of God you might be. The Apostle Paul, I consider a wonderful man of God because he had a wonderful God, but he required this school. It was a school that God decided he needed to go through. And not only that, you know, pride is always a real problem. And basically, when you get into this story of the Apostle Paul, that's what God was dealing with in the life of the Apostle Paul. I'm not saying he was a great prideful man, but he was making sure he didn't become that because of the revelations that God had given him. He caught up into the third heaven, and God gave him great revelations there. And so God was making sure the Apostle Paul did not let pride just overwhelm him. And so he sent him to thorn school. And so anyway, you know, a lot of times, and it's always dangerous when you have great victories in your life, good victories, great victories, it's always dangerous. Apostle Paul had seen these great revelations from God. And so God says, you know, I'm going to take you to thorn school. There's some things that you've got to be careful about. Even the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, he went up from his baptisms up into the Holy Ghost, led him up into the wilderness, and he was tempted there. And it's amazing, though, that when he came down off the Mount Transfiguration, there were some disciples that had failed completely and fully. And so what I'm just simply saying, when you have great victories in your life, you want to be a little careful. Because there's always the temptation to get a little pride entering into our life. You want to be very careful about that. And God has a way to help us with that. And sometimes it's thorn school that he sends us to kind of help us along. I believe every spiritual plateau that you climb to, and as a Christian, that's what you ought to be doing. You ought to be doing that. You ought to be growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and growing in your spiritual life. You ought not to ever stop. Ought to always grow. All of us ought to always grow. But I believe that each time that you grow, there's certain dangers that come along with it. And we've got to be very, very careful. And I believe that God tests each step of the way. I believe he tests us and proves us along the way. So the Apostle Paul, there was a danger of self-exaltation here. And so God had to use measures to counter that. And that's what God did in this story. Now, there's a lot more to it than I'm just bringing. But what I'm saying to you is, so God does that for you and I also. We've never been caught up to the third heaven. We never will be. One of these days we will finally, but we won't have that same experience Apostle Paul had. But we have other experiences that has to be dealt with, and God has to deal with them, and he gives countermeasures to work in our life to help us so that we won't get all prideful and things like this. Amen. Because it's a dangerous thing, you see. Let me share with you, verse number 7 assures us, and at least I should be exalted by measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, at least I should be exalted above measure. The discipline that God gives us, the spiritual discipline that God gives us, many times is painful. This was a thorn in the flesh. It was a painful thing to him. People will say, what was it with the Apostle Paul? I think most commentators, I think most people feel like it was his eyes with, was the problem, the physical problem that was causing him some difficulty. And I think most people will kind of believe that, but I guess we don't know for real sure. Maybe there was other things also in his life that God allowed in his life to help him. I don't know. But let me say to you, the very nature of a thorn is to be felt, not seen. Now, it doesn't mean that you won't see it, but it's to be felt. It's painful. I remember as a young man, I stepped on a thorn. I remember that very, we went around barefooted a lot at our house for a lot of reasons, but we went around barefooted, and I got a thorn in my foot. And my daddy was Dr. Ross. He was. We didn't go to Dr. So-and-so up in town. We went to my daddy. He was a doctor. He's the one who took care of things. He couldn't take us to doctors unless it would have been something really, really serious. We didn't go to doctors. And so anyway, but my daddy came home from work and he took some bacon fat, put around it, wrapped it around my foot that night, and the next morning took it off, and it had come up enough to the top where he could get in there to get it, and it pulled it out. That was Dr. Ross, Dr. Walter L. Ross. And but anyway, it was painful. It was painful. A thorn is painful. I think not only did it hurt puncturing, but it probably has some germs and things on there and that will cause pain in the wound. So I can assure you that a physical thorn is very painful. But let me say also, these spiritual thorns are very painful. And it is designed to do that. You see, old Satan was there to annoy the apostle Paul. And I don't know, maybe try to bring him to depression or something. I don't know, but discourage him in the way. You know what I'm trying to say, but he basically was doing everything he could to hinder the work of the Apostle Paul. That's what he was doing. Apostle Paul was causing Satan a lot of trouble. You hear me? He was causing Satan a lot of trouble. And Satan done everything he could to try to discourage him and hurt him and get him out of the way. Let me just say to you that Satan don't have to worry about a whole lot of folk. Not causing him much problems. The Apostle Paul was causing him all kinds of trouble. And he was preaching Jesus everywhere, getting people saved, starting churches and doing all these things. And this was serious business. Satan said, I got to do something about this guy. And he's a messenger here, a thorn in the flesh. He was a messenger from Satan, this thorn in the flesh was, you see, trying to stop the Apostle Paul. But I'm very thankful that the thorn in Paul's flesh become an instrument of God teaching and encouraging and helping the Apostle Paul. See, God is able to turn all these things around and use them for good. Amen. All things work together for good to them who love God, who are called according to his purpose. I want you to understand something. Hard times come, difficult times come, but God can turn them around. And God can bring them around for good in our life and work them together for good, no matter what the problem may be. Also, if you'll notice, that sometimes this spiritual discipline that comes along is sometimes misunderstood. In verse number 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Paul prayed 3 times for deliverance from that which God intended for good. Now, he wasn't not trying to go against God. He just simply wanted it removed. It was a problem in his life, and he wanted it removed, and he prayed 3 different times for that. Sometimes we pray in ignorance. Sometimes we pray for things to be removed from our eyes, from our lives, that is the very best for us. God has a purpose and a reason for it. It's best for our life, and we can always say that's good when it's somebody else. Amen. Preach it, Brother Ross. That's good. It's good for them that this has happened to them. But wait a minute, when it happens to me, we're a little bit not for sure that maybe God has done right. What I'm simply saying to you is that God knows best. And the kindness of God is not always seen in his answering our prayers with a yes. Sometimes the kindness of God is shown in the answering of our prayers with a no. Amen. Why? Because he knows best. God knows the beginning to the ending. You see, and he knows what is best for us. God knows that. And we want a lot of things removed from us. Why do we have to go through this? Why do we have? But you know, God knows best. Amen. But you see, what Paul did is he did it the right way. He took it to the Lord. He took it to the Lord and he prayed. I always think back a lot of times when we talk about things like this to Hezekiah of the Old Testament, when his enemies was coming against him and they was threatening him and they was telling him it wouldn't be any good to turn to your God and all these things. And Hezekiah, the Bible says, took it and laid it out before the Lord. That's what the Apostle Paul did. He took it and laid it out before the Lord, you see. And let me say to you in prayer, not that you do this, but don't pray complaining. Don't go to God complaining about the things that the thorns or whatever it might be that God has allowed in your life. Don't go complaining. Go and ask him, certainly. Nothing wrong with asking God to remove that. Nothing wrong. But we don't go complaining, because I believe something with all my heart. I really believe this, that there's nothing gets to me except it goes through the will of God first. And God allows the thing. We don't want to go complaining to God. We certainly can go and ask him for the removal of it. We can ask him these things, but I'm just simply saying, you know, we need to do what Paul did, and he prayed in earnest before the Lord. He wanted it removed. He felt that he could do a better work for God if it was removed. He wasn't just worried about his own suffering, but he felt it was hindering his work for God. And he prayed in earnest to God Almighty about this. Why don't we remove it? You see, God, please, 3 times I want it removed. And he kept praying till he got a response. A lot of times, if we don't be careful, we pray, we don't want anything, we don't ask for anything, we don't get anything. A lot of our prayers are so generic that we fail to truly get down to business with God and ask. But the Apostle Paul prayed definitely. Listen to him in verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. What did he do? He prayed about whatever this thorn in the flesh was. He prayed about that thing. God, I want it removed. Boy, take a lesson from this. When you go to prayer, don't just pray in general. Because a lot of times when we pray in general, you're not going to get anything in particular. Pray what you want to happen. Pray what it is. You see, you know, Dave Liffick sitting here with a sling on his arm, and I'm sure he did, and we did too. We prayed about his shoulder, and I'm sure Dave prayed about his shoulder. I didn't have to go pray about his foot. I'm not making fun. I'm really not. I'm just simply saying, you pray about the specific thing. We prayed this morning about JR's broken leg. He needs help with his broken leg. He needs help in his family. He needs help. And you pray about things in particular. What you want. Don't just pray in general, God, help me. Well, if I was God, I'd say, well, what do you want me to do? I know I'm not, and I know he knows all things. But you know what? He waits for us to pray in about certain things. And that's what Apostle Paul said. You know, this thing. He prayed about this thing. And folks, listen, boy, that can be a great learning thing there for you. Remember, when you have needs, tell God what it is. You say, oh, God is not interested. Oh, yes, he is. He's interested in everything about your life. Amen. The small things, the great things, no matter what it is, he's interested. And talk to him about it. Specifically. You say, well, God knows. I know, but talk to him about it. You see, and that's what the Apostle Paul did. He prayed definitely, you see. And he prayed that it might depart. He wanted to get rid of it. Amen. Ever had anything you want to get rid of? Right. Well, pray about it. Ask God about it. Talk to God about it. Mention it by name. Amen. And then we find in verse number 9, we find that the answer came. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You see, the answer came, and let me say to you, I think the way Apostle Paul prayed and how he prayed, I think God, and I'm saying this reverently, had to answer him because of the word of God, because he said he would. So as the Apostle Paul came to him, the only difference was it didn't come like he wanted. And folks, that's what we've got to remember. A lot of times the answer to our prayer is not always like we want it. The Apostle Paul thought God would just remove this from him. But instead of removing it, and let me say to you, it would have been very easy for God to have done that. Nothing's too hard for God. It would have been easy for God to remove this thorn. Instead, he sanctified its presence. He said, no, I'm going to leave it there, Paul. I'm going to leave it right there, Paul, instead of taking it away. Now, folks, listen, we've got to remember something, because God took that problem and transformed it into a ministering spirit for Paul, something that would help him, something that would do him good. But he didn't remove it. Now, God is able to take all things that seem difficult and contrary to us and turn them around and make them for the good. Amen? Amen? God does that, and we've got to remember that, you see. I think we've got to remember, instead of asking God to change our circumstances, why don't we ask God to strengthen us so we can hold up under our circumstances? Now, I'm not discouraging you from asking. Paul did ask. But when God said no, he then realized that God's grace was sufficient. Because God told him it was. My grace is sufficient for you, you see. We just need the strength, you see, to bear up that which God puts on us. Amen? And let me say to you, Christ bore all the burden of all the sin of all the world. He knows what it is to bear a burden. And he knows what you and I are going through when we bear a burden. He understands that. He knows. And he knows that you and I need the strength to bear those burdens that he allows us to have in our life. And you see, His grace is sufficient. What wonderful grace of God. God's grace is sufficient for anything. Young people, if I could teach you a lesson, learn that the grace of God is sufficient. You're going to have some thorns in the flesh one of these days. You're going to have some, and he'll send you to thorn school. But you need his grace. And his grace is sufficient. He's a wonderful God. And he loves you. And his grace is sufficient and always will be. Amen. See, this was not a mistake that God had made. You see, I don't really know all that was the problem there. But I do know this. It was a problem. It was serious. There is a quote that I want to read to you, and I do not know who wrote it. I think it was underneath. It said anonymous, but I want to just read it to you. I want you to listen to what it says. The thorn in the flesh was the stem upon which the flower of the divine glory of God was to blossom. Let me read it again. The thorn in the flesh was the stem upon which the flower of the divine glory of God was to blossom. Sometimes that things that we think are bad and hard, like the thorn in the flesh or thorn school, is bad. But folks, it may be the very thing that's going to cause us to blossom for the glory of God, you see. The messenger of Satan, you see, became something that began to proclaim God Almighty in a mighty great way. Instead of a messenger of Satan, he became a messenger for God through Paul's life. Do the same for you and I. Amen? Sure. Spiritual discipline is always accompanied. Listen to this. It's always accompanied by abundant strength. Verse 9, listen. And he said unto him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my grace is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Let me ask you a question. What matters the great weight of a burden if the strength is sufficient to lift it? What matters if there was a 4,000 pound piece of rock sitting here that needed to be moved if the strength to move it was sufficient to get the job done? What matters that thorn in your flesh as long as the strength to bear it is sufficient? And that's what God promised. God did not promise there would not be burdens, and God did not promise there would not be thorns, but God promised His grace is sufficient. The strength that God gives us is sufficient, you see, to bear that burden. And let it be known that that strength comes through pure grace and grace alone. Not through you and I's ability. Not through someone else who has given ability to us or help to us. But completely by the grace of God. That you or I, neither one deserve. But it's there. God's grace is sufficient. Paul didn't merit the grace of God. God gave it to Paul. Amen. You know what I believe too? I believe this thorn in the flesh allowed Paul to become something that he could never have become without it. Look what he says in verse number 9 again. He says, "And he said unto thee, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." He says, Paul says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." The Apostle Paul became a resting place for the power of God because of this thorn in the flesh. Now, I don't know whether you're getting it this morning or not. I hope you are, but I'm going to tell you something. If you need God's grace and you need His strength, if you are depending upon your own strength, as many of us do from time to time, it doesn't take God long to teach us and train us that it's Him we need. It's His grace, His strength that we need. Ours will never accomplish that which we need to be accomplished, you see. He became the dwelling place of the power of Christ. You see, and when Paul understood that it was not going to be removed, this is crucial. When the Apostle Paul understood that it was not going to be removed, look what in verse number 10 then, I've read verse 10, verse 9. "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distress, and for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong." The Apostle Paul, when he understood it was not going to be removed, accepted it. Folks, there's a lot of things we fight against. We don't want to accept what God has the lot that God has given us in life. We've got to learn to accept it. If it's God's will, if it's God's grace is sufficient to take care of us, it's okay. Amen? And he even took pleasure in the infirmities. Why? Because he knew the power of Christ was dwelling upon him. He took pleasure in it. I think we ought to ask God about our thorns. I think probably all of us have them to a certain degree. And we ought to ask God about them. And it doesn't bother a bit to ask God to remove them. But when God says they're going to remain, we need to learn to accept it. And let the power of Christ dwell on us because of it. Amen. Amen? So we can become the dwelling place of the power of Christ. Amen? Amen. Why? Verse 10 tells us, not for your sake, not for someone else's sake. The Bible says in verse 10, for Christ's sake. It's all about Him. And I understand, I see it, we see it in our school, and I see these young people growing in the Lord, and I see them fighting. Now, I'm not talking about literal. I see them fighting the Lord over things and things happening in their lives and all of these kind of things. And I want to take them sometimes and say, let me give you 50 years on top of this and learn something. But they can't completely. But I want you to know something. As you go along in life, you're gonna have these thorns. They're going to be there. It's going to be part of life. Learn to accept them and thank God for them, because he's trying to make you greater than you could ever be without them. You know, I read sometime back here, a little while back, I read about a man that said in the stock market, when the stock market went real low, he lost $400,000 in the stock market. But here's what he was saying. Every day of my life, I thank God for that loss. Oh, you say, Brother Ross. No, what happened? God used the circumstances of that to bring him to Christ. And this man says, $400,000 I lost. I thank God I lost it. Why? Because I gained Christ. Amen. Probably would not have got my attention if it hadn't been for that. So what I'm saying, so don't always look at things you see as something hard and wrong. God's doing some diamond polishing. He's doing some jewel polishing with these thorns. Amen. Say, Brother Ross, how long will that last? Well, until death do us part. I believe up until the end of my life, I believe God is still going to be polishing. I believe that's the way God does it. And we need to understand it's right and proper in the eyes of God. It's right. It's good. It's right. Cause why? Because he's right. He wants us to be better than we've ever been before. He's developing us for eternity. You may not understand all of that. I don't understand all of it, but he's developing us for eternity. You understand? Why all these problems? Why all these disciplines? Why is God doing that? All I know is this. The metals, the steel, the aluminum, we had some experience of that when I worked at Anaconda Aluminum Company, is purged and cleansed and made pure through fire. And you don't get it made any other way. You run from those fires, you're running from the purging power of God in your life. So that power of Christ can rest upon us. Christ knew what it was to carry his cross, and he knows what it is for us to carry ours. Amen. I'm just simply saying to you folks, just take it to him. Let him do the work in your life that needs to be done. If it's a thorn in your flesh, let God do what needs to be done through that, and he'll give you the grace of God, which is sufficient. There's a song that says, leave it there, take your troubles to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your troubles to the Lord and leave it there. That's what we need to do. Leave it there. Whatever it is, don't know what your thorn is, but leave it there. Leave it with him. Now, folks, I don't always know who I'm talking to, but I just want to say something to you. It may be that you're unsaved. You've never been born again into the family of God. This is serious business. You need to be saved. You need Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you're not saved, you need to trust Jesus and become a Christian, become a child of God, so that you can go to heaven one of these days when you die. You understand that? You won't go to heaven unless you're saved. You understand that? If you're not born again, you cannot go to heaven. But through the new birth, putting faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you can be assured of heaven. Amen. Wonderful. And then as a Christian, folks, listen to me. I don't know your individual lives. I don't know all that you go through. But I know this. You have a wonderful Heavenly Father whose grace is sufficient for you. And you may have some thorns that maybe he wishes to remove. I don't know. But if he doesn't, leave it with him. Accept his sufficient grace and that the power of Christ may rest on you. Because it's all about Him for His sake. You and I got die today, it ain't going to matter. It ain't going to matter one hoot how much money we had. It isn't going to matter what we did in life as far as our position in life. All those things is not going to matter. What's going to matter is how we live for Jesus Christ as a child of God. That's what's going to matter. And I just ask you, have you got some thorns? Have you been to thorn school? And you're still carrying them? And maybe you've been resentful about them? Why don't we do like the Apostle Paul? Why don't we just accept the wonderful, sufficient grace of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who loves us and will make us better for Him than we've ever been before with those thorns than we could have ever been. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Say, Brother Ross, I am not a Christian. I'm not born again. I do not know if I died, I'd go to heaven. But I'm concerned about it. I want you to pray for me. Would you just raise your hand and say, Brother Ross, pray for me. I'm concerned about it. I'm not a Christian. I know if I died today, I would not go to heaven. Would you please just raise your hand? Raise your hand. Let me pray for you. Now go call your name out. I just want to pray for you. Anyone? Anyone here? Say, I'm not saved. I'm not God's child. Not for sure. If I died, I'd go to heaven. Say, Brother Ross, there's some thorns in my life that I've been fighting against. I've been bitter over it. I've been trying to get rid of them. I've asked God to remove them. He hasn't. And I need to settle this thing. I just need to realize the sufficient grace of God is great and wonderful and completely has the ability to lift that burden that I have to carry. Say, Brother Ross, will you pray for me? Raise your hand, please. God bless you. 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 Someone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Father, thanking you again today for your wonderful grace, your goodness and kindness. It certainly is sufficient. And Father, I pray for those dear folk who raised their hand. Lord, it's not easy. The old thorns of the flesh and other things in our life, it's just not easy. You know that. It's why you've given us your sufficient grace. And I pray the sufficient grace of God be upon these dear folk. Help them. Help them during this time of difficulty. Help them to realize they just need to give it to you and leave it there. And Lord, we'll thank you for it. And then, Lord, use them as a wonderful instrument for your grace that the power of Christ may dwell upon them. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.